The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, episode 62. Welcome to The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, psychologist and adaptability coach to entrepreneurs and business leaders. I believe that working on your business is more important than working in your business. If you want to achieve your business goals and dreams without the cost and pain of having to make every mistake yourself, then The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is the podcast for you. I'm here to help you learn from the lessons of entrepreneurs and business leaders to help you work on yourself and your business so that you can save time, energy, and grow faster. For those of you new to the show, The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai presents 3 new episodes each week. On Insight Sunday, we dive into the minds of business leaders through insightful guest interviews. On Story Tuesday, we dig deeper with them and learn firsthand from their stories, hard-earned lessons, and experience. On Thrive Thursday, it's just you and me on the couch, where you'll hear scientific research, my thoughts, and tangible tactics to adapt and grow yourself and your business. Grab a proverbial seat and listen up so you can learn from the minds and mistakes of business leaders and apply their wisdom to your life and business. Because Story Tuesday's interview was so packed and so full of such great conversation, I just knew I had to share it with you in 2 parts. On Sunday, Carrie shared her hard-learned wisdom, from the importance of perseverance, to knowing your values, to committing first and then figuring out how to make your goals happen. She also talked about how she lost over half her income in her business and how she pivoted to create even greater success. Today, Carrie continues talking about lessons that she learned about business mentors, supports, and personal relationships, and how she created the nonprofit Operation Phalanx and secured funding to continue serving and helping communities, veterans, and law enforcement who she is so dedicated to serving. Before we dive in, I wanted to share that The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is brought to you by Adaptability Coaching and Consulting. If you lead a 6 or 7+ figure business and experience a drag or dip in your growth, if you notice diminishing engagement or passion in your business, if you want to eliminate exhaustion and burnout in yourself or your teams, if you sense that you or your company would grow faster and stronger if you could just pivot efficiently and effectively when circumstances change, like they had so much in 2020, then you've got an adaptability problem. Adaptability Coaching and Consulting will give you and your business the psychology and neuroscience-backed tools to understand and leverage core adaptability skills through the unique 3D adaptation framework. You can learn to harness and leverage core adaptability skills to grow yourself and your company. You can learn to become fast, flexible, and formidable. You can learn to turn tough circumstances, reactions, and exhaustion into energy, excitement, and excellence for you and your company. To learn more, go to dryishai.com/coaching or dryishai.com/consulting.
As you can imagine, speaking engagements got canceled for basically all of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I'll be very transparent. I lost a lot of money the first half of the year because things were already contracted and booked. And it was, I had a whole week of, hey, it's canceled. Hey, it's canceled. I'm like, is it postponed? Is it virtual? Is it? Nope, we're just canceled. And I had that entrepreneurial experience that we'll all have of, oh my gosh, I'm broke. What do I do now?
You're seeing and experiencing money that you'd anticipate coming into your bank account.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's being pulled out of your bank account. So it's like, yeah,
exactly.
Bye, farewell.
Yeah.
And then there's a big question of, well, what now?
Yeah. So I took that week of exciting phone calls and in January launched with new business partners an entirely new program. Probably my favorite first responder program so far. Great results, something totally new. And we built it and sold it in January, taught it live in February, had it booked, got amazing feedback, had it booked again for end of March. Well, that one was canceled. and everything else. So major change here. Again, oh my gosh, one of the best things that's happened in my business is we said, well, we'll go virtual. We'll go online. It's not a big deal. Everyone's got Zoom. So instead of an 8-hour workshop, I got with my partner and I said, how do we do this? We'll create a 6-week training academy where everyone from all time zones, and we'll jump on and we'll take that 8-hour course and we'll train an hour a week. 1 hour a week, they'll implement, we'll do Q&A and we'll coach through it and we'll get massive results. And it was amazing. It's the best program we have. And it solved a lot of our objections from the in-person stuff, like staff shortages and paying overtime and all the things that leadership says, hey, I can't give you everybody for 2 days of training. We were able to overcome all of that without even trying, right? We weren't looking for that solution, but COVID kind of forced our hand at it.
And adapt, and then you found a solution.
Exactly.
Made us adapt.
And it's been great. I'm not changing that model. It's going to be a continued model forward. And going into 2021, we have a mix. We have some who want to do virtual, some who say, oh my gosh, please come in person. We're so done doing online training. Thank you, 2020. No one wants to Zoom anymore. And then some are saying, can we do a hybrid? Can you train for a day? And then can you implement and guide us for 6 weeks? So all these products that now my company has, they weren't even planned, but it's adapting. It's being open-minded. It's, well, we're still fulfilling our mission. We're just doing it a little different way than I initially anticipated.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. And I'm hearing that there was what was retained from before and through and into, and also out of COVID, is the commitment to making the change that is so important to you to make. And this comes back to the mission and the vision, the values, what's so important to you, what really gets you out of bed in the morning. And what has changed and adapted so much is the specifics of how you do that and in what ways are you delivering it and how can you create that and what can you build to support that change process.
Right. We have to be ready to adapt, right? We can't fear change because we know it's happening around us anyway. Especially this year, if we didn't think that change was happening all the time, hopefully this year opened a few eyes that we don't have control of, you know, birthday parties anymore, right? Graduations, all the small things that we thought were a sure thing. And we have to get creative. I mean, my nonprofit was started this year because of some of the negative effects of COVID. We just got creative and found different solutions to the problems that were being thrown our way anyway.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your so many different lessons and experiences that you have and that you've had. So I want us to jump into another couch round before we wrap it up for today.
Yes, let's do it.
Awesome. So the first thing is, what's one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you were getting started?
Whew, one thing. Oh my gosh, I have 1,000. Now I know that it's true what they say, the process is worth it, because like most entrepreneurs, I've probably said I'm going to quit 100 times. I've banged my head against the wall more times than I can count. And it does work out, but you can't skip it, right? All the lessons learned, all the growth, all of the, lack of a better word, all the bad stuff that happened through building business had to happen in order to get me where I am right now.
Yeah, thank you. So next question, I'm going to jump straight in. What is the difference between a mistake and failure?
Oh, right there with it. I don't believe in failures. I actually took it out of my vocabulary for that reason. You know, a mistake is, it's not a big deal, right? It's like a faux pas. Everything's a process. So as long as you learn from it and know, right, get that mindset of, oh my gosh, this is a challenge. I can't wait to practice my resilience. Right? Oh my gosh, that wasn't. Now I know 99 ways not to do something, which means this is going to be the best way to do something. Right? So we don't believe in failure. Take it out of your vocabulary. Or if you really need it, you can say fail forward. But as long as you're learning and you're embracing the process, those are necessary. If you just win, 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 everything's perfect, then you don't practice any resilience and you're going to get thrown on your face with a small hiccup and not know what to do.
Yeah, it reminds me, I was having a conversation with Michael Cole the other day, and he shared with me a quote. I'm forgetting who it was he said, who had told him, a mentor of his or a friend of his, who had said, I believe he was a golfer. He said he never learned anything from a game that he won.
Yep, I believe that 100%.
Or from winning a golf tournament. And so it's so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I'm going to jump right ahead into our next question. Can you name someone who, when you make a mistake, you can go to them and they'll respond by saying, okay, let's deal with this now and then learn from it for later?
Yeah, so I have had a number of great mentors and coaches, but while it's been interesting, ill-advised, my strongest accountability partner, I guess, is actually my husband. Now, I don't suggest this for everybody. I don't think it's the best idea for every relationship, but we have very similar personalities and we're both entrepreneurs. So he gets it, right? It's a little more relatable. And again, specific to us, we're really good at that. Do I need the business partner right now or do I need the spouse right now? And so I can go and say, hey, business partner, this is what just happened. Now what? And sometimes it's pretty harsh feedback that you would never tell your spouse, but you would definitely tell your business partner. So we just kind of compartmentalize the two and it works out great for us.
So I'm hearing, and this comes back to focusing on communication, being clear about what you're asking for and knowing that you can get exactly that is such an important piece of it. And the relationship that you have with your husband is one where part of the relationship is a spouse relationship and another part of the relationship is a peer-to-peer, entrepreneur-to-entrepreneur relationship. And so it's really about the communication. If you come in and are asking about or asking or talking in a way that says, I want what I would get from a spouse, but that isn't what you need, well, then that would lead to more conflict or issues. But if you can come and say, what I need is a business partner response, and they can give that to you, even if it's hard or harsh, you are aware that that's what you were seeking. And that's the context in which you were creating that. So that kind of, I'm hearing that comes with the kind of warning label of, don't just assume you can do this, but cultivate the communication and, if you want to call it the culture, but certainly the process of being able to get what it is you need in that moment.
Right. And know what you asked for. And this might be unfair, but I would say more for women. Don't say, I want the business response, get it, and then get mad at your husband, right? Mm. For giving you an insensitive response, right? Or less than because you asked for it. Mm. I know that sounds a little harsh, but there's no dancing around it. I say it exactly how we're talking right now. I'll make a mistake and I say, okay, what do I need? Do I need a solution or do I need like a hug and support to tell me that I don't suck right now? Mm. And I'll literally go to him. I'm like, right now, I just need you to be the husband. Whew, let me dump it on you. And I'm going to come back for solutions a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And that's the conversation. And that's exactly how we do it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I am going to, if it's okay, jump on a point that you said and perhaps offer a slightly different perspective. You mentioned don't get mad if what you receive is difficult or crosses a boundary for you. If what you receive is the business response, but then you are upset or angry, don't feel that is kind of what I heard. And I'd like to offer a little pushback and say, well, if you're feeling that, it might mean that there are boundaries or there is a perception or there was perhaps something else that you needed. And so if you are angry, what about taking the time to slow down, to realize that that anger is saying something and to address that either in context of the relationship or the interaction or for what your boundaries are or what you need, for what your lines are to make sure that they don't get crossed in that way. And it may be an indication that it's not the best person or relationship to rely on. There might be some mixing happening, or it might be an indicator that perhaps you had a different need and didn't express it. Or it might be an indicator that there need to be some more secure or clear boundaries or lines or a compartmentalization, as you put it. So rather than saying, don't feel that way, to say, well, make sense of it and address it. And that might mean the relationship looks different.
Right. So yes.
That's my pushback.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I'm glad you said that. You're absolutely right. And that's, like I said, I tread carefully because it is, right, a marriage. I don't think it's the best person for everybody. Right? I know some relationships where I say, no, don't go to your spouse with that. They're not going to give you what you need right now, but I know both of you, that's not going to be the best approach. That's when you go to the business mentor or the coach or whatever. Find someone. It's really find someone. So really focus on that circle of influence and what your influencers' roles are in your process and in your decision-making.
Yeah. And what your needs are so you can find somebody who really fits what your needs are. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm going to jump right into our next question. Can you name someone who you've learned from their mistakes instead of making your own?
Yes. So one of my first mentors, Danelle Delgado, she is fantastic. I met her right when I left law enforcement. And she was just so great at saying, here's where I went too slow. Here's where I went too fast. She built business as a young single mom of three, you know, had three like under the age of four while fighting cancer. Like she had so much more going on than anything I've ever had to deal with. And it was so great to have someone so strong and who knew my needs, right? Who knew how to talk to me and everything else and be able to say, look, this is about to get hard. Right? I let off the gas at this point in my journey, which is why I'm telling you, you need to go twice as fast right now. Or, okay, your kids are now here. You built this the last, you know, 2 years. Come off. And like, this is how you do this mom of three and entrepreneur, you know, mashup of how am I everything for everybody, including myself. And she really gave me all the best guidance through this whole journey.
Wow. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. So next question, what is more important from your perspective, working in your business or working on your business?
Oh my gosh, work on your business. Don't get stuck in it. If you get stuck in it, and I know because it's our baby, right? We all love it. Like it's ours. We created it. It's, oh my gosh, we don't even want to share it with people. We don't want to give the control up. I get it, right? We get a little greedy of what we create. That's okay. And we get stuck in it. If you're working in it, you're never going to, like most entrepreneurs, that big picture is, you know, flexible schedule and financial freedom and, you know, getting those as a result of serving and fulfilling my mission, right? That's kind of this general entrepreneurial concept. Well, if you get stuck in your business, congratulations, you're not working 100 hours a week for yourself forever. I mean, why? I'm not saying don't, you know, don't put the work. Of course, when you're a startup, oh my gosh, I feel like we just haven't slept in a couple of years. And I mean, we literally built business like in the middle of the night while feeding babies. I would keep like an iPad or a notepad and I would do work at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's just what I had to do. But now I don't have to. So now I have, you know, an assistant here and a VA there and a partner over here. And I can work on it and I can delegate a little bit more. And now I'm getting some of that entrepreneurial freedom and the benefit of all the hard work a few years ago.
Yeah, thank you. So last question, what is one thing that's coming up for you or your business that you're working on or really excited about?
Oh, I'm excited about everything. I love what I do. So the nonprofit is new. So new, we're like still waiting on the IRS to give us our little check in the box, fancy piece of paper. As you can imagine, it hasn't been a quick process.
I heard things are a little bit slowed down in 2020.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little slow. I'm sure the IRS wasn't super fast before. And so the nonprofit, Operation Phalanx, was created out of defunding police. Because of course, training in the law enforcement space came to a drastic halt this year. And it was, okay, going back to that mission, how do I serve when now they're not doing training? They don't have any money. They don't, you know, I'm all about free content, but I'm not traveling and volunteering. That doesn't serve my family. It doesn't serve my business. It just doesn't really work. So we created this nonprofit to serve veterans and first responders, everything from housing and support services to training. So with that, I have, you know, different grants coming in. So even agencies that, you know, don't have any money or are holding on because of COVID, whatever, all the political stuff that's gone on this year, I can get a grant and go train at no cost to them. So now their needs are still being met and we're actually making them better. Veterans, of course, close to my heart, close to my husband. You know, he did 20 years Marine Corps and then retired. And because of our business in commercial real estate, we acquire apartment complexes. He can take that skill set and give, you know, disabled veteran housing at no cost and get grants. So it's, you know, through our business, but it's really just expanded our level of service. And again, pushed us to get creative because we know firsthand what veterans need, what first responders need, you know, what resources are lacking and how do we create something for them? So that's been our like big service project this year, more to come as we get into 2021.
Yeah. Wow. That is so amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And what I'm hearing is so much of it is the how question that shows up when there are these roadblocks that require pivoting. And what I'm hearing is that in the nonprofit, what you can do is apply for and secure grant and other kinds of funding that nonprofits can have access to in order to provide the services and provide the resources that you know are needed. But right now there really isn't the funding, or in the sectors, there aren't that funding. And you get to also put together different elements of businesses that you have had in the past, areas of expertise that you have. And so because you can put that together and because you have so much familiarity, you know these needs, it's this really beautiful kind of joining up together, putting together all these different skill sets and expertise that you guys have.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's putting it all together kind of for the first time. And again, how do we serve? And you're right, I can still, the nonprofit can get funding for training, for mental health services. You know, a lot of agencies are hiring, you know, full-time psychologists to have on staff for, you know, all the PTSD. And the nonprofit can pay for that, which is great because, you know, like any organization, people need to be training all the time, right? We need to be adjusting, we need to be developing. You take training away, you're just hurting the growth process, right? So that it was kind of our answer to, well, how do we help? What do we do? And I can still pay my instructors, right? The grant comes in, we get the supplies, I pay my instructors because I'm not asking them to volunteer their time away from their families to train, right? That's just, that's not what this is about.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. It comes back to, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly. So it's the most exciting thing that's happened this year.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so, so much. And thank you again for giving us a peek behind your success and into the inner workings of yourself and your founded companies and nonprofit. Thank you so much for diving into and sharing your hard earned and hard learned wisdom. I think it's so rare and it's incredibly powerful to really learn from the challenges, the pitfalls, the moments that are hardest, as well as the achievements. And you know, by way of kind of recap, some of the lessons and some of the wisdom that you shared with us today is making sure that you really know what your mission, your vision, your values are, and the willingness to and choosing to commit first. And with that committing first comes the question of how do you make it happen and really figuring it out. And that comes after commitment, not before the commitment. You talked about how perfectionism can get in the way, and perfectionism is not the same as professionalism. And also, the importance of being willing and able to pivot. You talked about pivoting your business, you know, so many times it's kind of hard to count. I think the number you threw out was 247. There's so many,
right.
Yeah. Which if you look at it another way is 24/7, right? It's constant pivoting.
There you go.
Yeah. And so there's so many pivots to be made, and you kind of shared with us some of your stories, some of your experiences of pivoting over and over and over again, which is continuing to happen. And we also talked about self-doubt, and understanding that whatever the thought or whatever the reaction, whatever the feeling, whatever the emotion that you're having, it has a purpose. And so we even together walked through a bit of an exercise, and you reflected on and made sense of how your self-doubt actually helps you stay in alignment with your mission, your vision, and your values. And then we also talked about adapting during really challenging times during the COVID and kind of thinking and moving forward. And of course, you shared with us your reasons and what you're doing in Operation Phalanx, the nonprofit. So thank you so, so much. Thank you for sharing again, and thank you for being such a change agent and really creating the change in the world that's so meaningful and important to you, and sharing change that you've made with yourself and in your family and for yourself with the world so that more people can experience it.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure, and I appreciate that perfect recap. I hope some value is coming to the listeners, and you know, I like I said, I love to connect. So listeners, you know, reach out, shoot me a message, send me an email. If you have a question or you just want to talk about something, I always keep free time in my calendar so I can do just that and just connect and talk to people.
Amazing. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today on The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. If you enjoyed today's episode, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It helps grow the show and gives more people like you the ability to learn and grow. You can also click the share button to share today's episode directly with someone you know who would enjoy it. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast artwork is made by Sam Barkadari, show notes by Yishai Barkadari, and music by www.purple-planet.com. The advice and opinions of the host and guests are our own. I'm a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with either the guest or the listener. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, our thoughts and reactions affect our actions. By listening, we can learn from the challenges others face and the choices they make, so that we can make better decisions and get better results.